Photographs on Afghan media showed houses reduced to rubble, people as far as Kabul, and of course on the Pakistan side, even up to Quetta, felt aftershocks of the of the devastating earthquake. Magnitude 6.1 earthquake, striking 44 kilometers from the city of Khost near the Pakistani border at a depth of 51 kilometers. And the death toll expected to rise as the days come along and people are able to uncover people who are still buried in the rubble. Joining us this evening is Brother Ali M. Latifi, renowned journalist based in Kabul. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Ali. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Ali. You with us? We'll try and get Brother Ali on a clear line there. I suppose that means that Skype has dropped, and trying to cover this incident here for a number of days now, and unfortunately connections and communications in that part of the world, quite difficult, especially in the last few days. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Ali.
Wa alaikum assalam.
And shukran, jazakumullah khairan, for joining us. Brother Ali, there are reports which we are getting and which we've been getting over the last few hours and days now. You are based right there. What is the current death toll in the earthquake, and how is the situation? Is aid and help reaching those who are in need of it?
Right now, the death toll is about 1,500. And as you said earlier, one of the major issues of reaching people is the fact that there was inclement weather about 2 days ago. There was heavy rain, there was hail, there was fog, so helicopters couldn't reach the people. And really, it was only since yesterday that helicopters were coming and reaching people, evacuating them, taking them to ambulances, bringing them back. That was a major issue. The other issue is the condition of the roads. A lot are very unpaved. It's rocky roads, it's dirt roads. And of course, when it rains and hails and, there's a downpour, that obviously turns into mud, landslides, making it very difficult for aid groups to reach the area. Slowly, aid groups are reaching there. More and more helicopters are going. But it's a slow, steady process.
It seems that the epicenter of the earthquake, what we understand thus far, is a rural area, which is, of course, not very developed. How far is this place from Kabul, or even Kandahar, for that matter, which would be the more developed areas, close by?
From Kabul, it's probably about 14 hours. From Kandahar, it's probably about 10 hours. But the issue is that from the next major city, from Gardez, the capital of Paktia province, getting to these areas can take up to 10 hours on these winding, unpaved, rocky, dirty, and dusty roads, and that is really like the main issue. If you talk to people in the area, they'll say the closest hospital, it's not even a hospital, it's a clinic, and a private clinic, is at least 30 minutes away. And this happened really early in the morning when it was still dark out, making it even more difficult for people to go if they could afford to go to a private clinic. So a lot were beholden on, ambulances coming from other places, on helicopters coming from other places. But again, given the time of the earthquake and also, how quickly the weather changed in the immediate aftermath of it, it's taken a very long time to get people the help that they need.
The government, of course, in Afghanistan is nearly, not even yet a year old. And this major, call it a national disaster or crisis, amongst other crises that the country is seeing. How has been the response thus far from the local government? And are there any other international members of communities or Pakistan or other neighboring countries that have also offered their assistance?
There are international organizations. I mean, we've seen the World Food Program trucks moving in and out. I know that the IRC is working. I know that UN OCHA is trying to coordinate things. But it's very difficult because of the aid cutbacks, because of the sanctions, and also because the UN handles most of the financial distribution, actually all of the financial distributions in Afghanistan now, and they place very strict limits and terms on who international organizations can partner with. And one of the biggest effects and hindrances of that has been that because of the guidelines that the UN sets, it becomes much more difficult for the Red Cross or for the IRC, for example, to partner with smaller local organizations in and around these areas that could be much more capable of reaching the people and addressing their needs in a much more quick manner.
We know that Afghanistan has got quite a number of news and media agencies. I mean, for a population that size, if you just look at those who are based in Kabul, in the previous administration, I think you had like, you know, a few dozen media outlets from Tolo News to whatever. Have they got access currently in this area? I know that to get there, even for aid workers, as you explained, is a difficult task indeed. But communications are people sending images and pictures and voice messages out of the earthquake zone.
The problem is most of the earthquake zone is in areas that's very difficult to get cell service in. So unless you go there yourself, take the pictures, take the videos, and then publish it when you're back, you know, in an area with proper service, it's much more difficult. And yes, I mean, I've been doing it. Other people have been doing it. Local media outlets have been going around trying to get footage and whatnot. But we also have to remember that, you know, once the Taliban came to power, both because of the Taliban restrictions on the media and also because of the funding cutbacks to local media outlets, many of the local media, like, for instance, the regional local media outlets have closed. So, you know, the ones in the southeast, you know, where these incident, where this earthquake took place, you know, so many of the journalists are now out of work. And so many of those, you know, radio stations and TV stations and other outlets that people may have started have been shut now. So that also affects the flow of information.
Is there any idea of how it is on the Pakistan side? I mean, in Kabul, how are the news outlets reporting any damages or loss of life on the other side of the border?
You would have to ask people on the other side of the Durand line. I don't know.
The Durand line once again comes into picture, Brother Ali. Brother Ali, what's the way forward? I mean, has the Taliban now issued maybe like a public volunteer type of a system to assist in that area? Are there donations, public donations taking place, or is it currently, information that is bleak?
No, there's a lot of, I mean, everyone that you speak to, they're either starting these online sort of GoFundMe style campaigns. I know, for instance, the head of the Gynecological Doctors Union, you know, this very famous female doctor, she plans to come tomorrow and help. I know other people who are, you know, planning to come and help on their own. When we were with the aid helicopters, we saw that there was a Turkish organization assisting. You know, there are people who, if they have family, if they have friends in the area, finding ways to send money or other donations into the area. So there definitely is, you know, a sort of a concerted effort, but it's difficult because you need the government to have their own plan, and you also need these international organizations to have their own plan, and you also need the international community to cough up the money. It's a lot of pieces at once. It's not, you know, no one piece can do it all. You know, the government can't do it all on its own. Private donors can't do it all on their own. International NGOs can't do it on their own alone. And, you know, foreign countries can't do it alone either. You know, what needs to happen is for all of them to work together in conjunction. And right now, there are key elements missing.
The earthquake itself, finally, Brother Ali, yes, Brother Ali, finally, from the earthquake point of view or the seismic activity, I mean, does the area sit on a, how would I say, a California type of a scenario that where you've had a fault zone, the San Andreas fault? I mean, is it something like that in Khyber Pakhtunkhwa and, you know, in Afghanistan, that the area is prone to seismic activity?
Essentially, all of Afghanistan is prone to seismic activity. Usually, the really big earthquakes take place around Badakhshan, leading down to Kabul and even Ninghar. Usually, the bigger ones aren't on the southeast side. They're more on the east and the northern sides. But all of Afghanistan, you know, because it's such a mountainous country, you know, is very prone to earthquakes, to floods, to landslides, to avalanches. And unfortunately, the former government, even with the billions of dollars in aid, and even with all of the international help, because there was so much corruption, because there was so much fraud, could not properly deal with these natural disasters either. And now the Taliban is having to do it at a time when, you know, their ministers have no experience whatsoever, and whatever job they're given, you know, they're just given it because they're part of a war and because they're considered holy. Also their hands are tied financially and in terms of partnering with outside nations. So it's a major, major test for this government.
Brother Ali M. Latifi, shukran, jazakumullah khair for joining us on Radio Islam International with that update. Hopefully we'll get more you know, positive and better information regarding the situation sometime in the future with some relief efforts. And assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum.
Well, that's the situation out there in Afghanistan. Difficult to actually get anybody on the ground there, as Brother Ali had mentioned. So much of our news sources coming out of Kabul, coming out of the Pakistan side. But apparently people making their way there in an individual capacity rather than in a collective government capacity. I'm sure government, the Islamic Emirate, is doing whatever they can in that way. But a number of individuals attempting to navigate the roads and to attempt to reach those who are still in much need in that particular part of the country. It's estimated that at least 100,000 people have some way or the other, or in some way or the other, been affected by this earthquake a few days back, and 1,500, the official count as of now, who have been recovered, or bodies that have been recovered in a wide area. Although it is a rural area, the area affected by the earthquake is about the region of five times the size of Kabul, a few thousand square kilometers. So in that region, many houses, many buildings could not withstand a 6.1 earthquake. And many of the houses, in fact, being mud houses, etc. And as a result, houses caving in on people in the middle of the night, just before sunrise, and aid workers unable to reach the majority of that population. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant those who have lost their lives Jannatul Firdaus, Shahadat and Martyrdom, and may relief come to the survivors sooner rather than later. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant ease on the people of the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan.